Item eight, legislative update.
Not unless you win. If you win, you better give me a case.
Are you on OT yet?
Quite a little day for...
Thank you. This is a legislative update about pending bills that are of interest to CSERA and the Board of Retirement. You do have a memo in the agenda packet that lists all of these pending bills. The September 30th of 2018 is the last day for the governor to sign or veto bills that are passed by the legislature. All of these bills are currently pending, meaning that they still can be amended. They may or may not get enacted at the end of the day. The first one is AB 283, and this particular bill, if passed, would change the definition of permanent incapacity for safety members to clarify that the determination has to be about whether they can perform all of the usual and customary duties of a peace officer as described in the penal code. And the bill, if passed, would apply to members who file applications for disability on or after the effective date of the bill. Next, we have AB 1912.
Karen, yes. If I could just, I'm asking this for Will, as I didn't go to law school either. what is the distinction between what we have now and what this...
I can explain it.
The distinction is that this bill would clarify that you look at the peace officer's definition and see if the condition, the disability, prevents that person from performing those jobs.
Isn't our current definition the same as the peace officer?
I thought that's what we've sort of been looking at.
It is. You're right. It is. But some are not. And they're trying to make it uniform amongst the state.
Where is some are not?
Some are not in what way?
Some counties, the example would be a captain at a desk job. His usual job is not doing, lifting a 150-pound person. So I do know, I won't mention which one, I do know if counties sometimes will not pass it because it doesn't fall under the usual job, usual duties. So what this is saying, the reason being is the way the captain would say, if I'm responding, I'm driving home and there's an incident, I have to respond to it. And so they're saying they're not able to do all the jobs of a peace officer. But we do follow it, our system
does.
Yeah,
I got it.
This is more to get consistency amongst the state.
Yeah.
And could you, may not be in a position to clarify, but I just always read the stuff. I always find these words fascinating. Incapacity of certain peace officers. What does that mean? Do you know what that means? Certain peace officers, why the qualifications? Would apply to some but not to others, or just a few? Or
I think it's trying to direct us to those that are defined in the penal code under a peace officer.
I thought they were the only ones, though. I thought that...
I'm not sure if there are any others.
If you're a peace officer, you have that certain status, and that is your legal status for all purposes of state law.
There are other ones. There's like the railroad police. We're like 830.0, I believe it is. There's like an 830.1. There's other ones that have something to do with it.
But in those instances, are those folks peace officers?
They are, but they may be under different. I'm not that familiar. Like the railroad police, the one I can use as an example. I'm just not familiar with what they do and their pension requirements.
I just remember in my prior life, a long time ago, as a ledge aide, post peace officer standards and training, post was very active in maintaining, in a vigilant way, the status of peace officer in the state, and it has a particular meaning, right? So it's interesting you saw that at certain peace officers. I mean, which ones are those, right? Yeah. That's what it began.
Thinking it means the Section 830. The other ones, I'm not sure what they're doing. That's how I took it.
Okay.
So I'm just concerned about anything that looks like it's arbitrary, it's identified to a specific group. It just begs a question. Yeah, what does that mean?
Maybe it's the sheriff himself selected. I have no idea.
Yeah, perfect. No, that's just what I'm saying.
Yeah, it could be that one.
Do we know that whether any of this affects our definition as opposed?
We're in 30.1.
So
we're in 30.1. Okay.
Okay, so this really applies to other 27 Act plans.
If you go into Section 830, it has subsections. Subsections dictate who's under that subsection, like the railroad police, the school police. They're all peace officers under the purpose of 830, but the subsection breaks them out of who is a peace officer under that section. It describes what the 830 is, what a peace officer is.
Might actually have correctional officers too, maybe under it.
What?
Correctional officers may be under that 832. I'm like, I can't remember. Certain ones.
I think they are under. They have their own subsections.
Yeah, they got to be. I mean, they're clearly peace officers. So.
Yeah, they're all peace officers, but it breaks them out where they work, basically.
So, anyhow, it's not our job to write the legislation. If it were, we might have some suggestions.
Okay, so AB 1912 has to do with joint powers agreements and agencies that adjoin CalPERS or other retirement systems. And this bill would require these joint powers agreements, so joint, more than one entity that is joint together under a joint powers agreement, they would have to jointly and severally be liable for all obligations of the retirement system. I'm not aware of CSERA having any joint powers agreement. Under
that would be a real chilling effect on joint powers authorities, right? That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd never have a small entity combined with a large one as a joint powers authority if you had joint and several liability. That just
it was CalPERS where they reduced those people's benefit south in L.A. area.
I don't remember the name of this small town.
Yeah, it was some district that LA and a couple other people were joint powers.
Right.
They went belly up.
They went bankrupt. Sure. Yeah.
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 It's interesting. It was in the papers.
AB 2076 is a Los Angeles County statute only if it gets enacted. It has to do with the error correction statute that is already in place for LaSera only in the CERL. And this particular bill would authorize LaSera to correct a prior board decision determining the effective date of retirement for disability members. It would allow them to make that correction. LaSera explains that they feel that they need this legislation in order to be able to make that particular correction. They explain that it had to do with a mistaken interpretation of the law about the effective date of some members' disability, and so therefore they would like the authority to be granted under statute to go ahead and make those corrections.
But only for that 3-year period.
Yeah.
Right, it has to have been 13, 14, or 15 that occurred in that band.
Very limited period of time, yes. Would not affect CSERA. AB 2085 is a bill that would define a surviving spouse for the purpose of CERL as a person legally married to the member who is neither divorced nor legally separated from the member. AB 30.
I was going to say that one, though. It got pulled,
this is
right?
Our case.
Yeah, this
got pulled because Los Angeles was not going to back it.
I believe Sackers is debating or was debating whether to sponsor it, but the bill itself is still pending.
But
it says hearing canceled.
The hearing was canceled at the request of the author.
Correct.
So it's.
But it's still out there.
Oh, okay. I thought it was pulled.
But that is familiar to us. This.
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
AB 3084 has to do with OPEB benefits and funding those. OPEB stands for the Other Post-Employment Benefits. And this particular bill would require each governing body of a public agency that provides other post-employment benefits to show that the public agency has met, or if it hasn't met, detail why it hasn't met, and what the public agency is doing to meet specified parameters related to the provision of the OPEB benefits. And that includes making targeted pre-funding contributions on a timely basis, depositing contributions in an irrevocable qualified trust for the exclusive benefit of plan members, investing contributions in excess of any pay-as-you-go amounts in a diversified investment portfolio with a defined investment policy, and ensuring that the discounted rate used to develop the actuarial account liability and normal cost recognizes the expected return of the entire portfolio. So this bill obviously goes to the public agency's funding of post-employment benefits, what's been done, an explanation of why certain of these things haven't been done. AB 3150 has to do with annual audits, and the bill would require each state and local pension or retirement system to post a concise annual audit of the information, essentially the information that we have in our CAFR, on the system's internet website no later than 90 days following the audit completion. So this would be an additional requirement to post a concise CAFR, if you will, on the internet website. SB 1031 has to do with cost of living adjustments. We refer to those as COLAs. And this bill would prohibit a retirement system, including SACERA, from making a cost of living adjustment to any allowance in situations where the system is underfunded more than 20%. And so if your funding status is less than 80%, then the retirement system, this bill would prohibit the retirement system from providing a cost of living adjustment, but it would only apply to those who become new members of the system on or after January 1, 2019.
Oh. So this might be putting the cart before the horse, but are we going to have like essentially another tier? Because if we're charging employers and members a COLA that now may be in flux, is that going to be reflected somehow in the actuarial calculation?
This hinges on the funding status of the system. So if this is enacted, it only is triggered if the system is less than 80%. Funded.
But to your point, yeah, though, you're funding this COLA, because I pay like 8-point-something% of my salary towards my COLA.
Right.
So,
I don't think it's going to pass up from when I understand.
Labor's going to kill
that, it's, yeah. Okay. But reconsideration granted, what does that mean?
Goes back to
it's still on the table.
It's already had three no's and one
in the committee.
But it means it can come back to committee. It hasn't been killed outright.
Okay. Not good news for retirees.
Again, I don't think it's going to
retirees
pass.
In 50 years?
Future.
Right. In the future. Right. But it's good that they put in the language for new employees after.
After.
As opposed to 197, which is, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
SB 1270, this wouldn't really impact SACERA, but it would be a change in the SERL to allow different systems to opt into this particular statutory provision that exempts from the county civil system some of the high-level positions in the system, like the administrator and the chief investment officer. SACERA is governed by a separate statute. SB 1032, this has to do with the termination of contracts with CalPERS. All of the following bills that I'll be describing don't impact SACERA. They're more CalPERS, CalSTRS statutes, but they're of interest, so we wanted to inform the board of their existence. So this one would be a CalPERS change. It has to do with terminating agencies with CalPERS. They actually have a contract between participating agencies and CalPERS, and that contract can be terminated And in this case, this bill would authorize a contracting agency with CalPERS to terminate the contract at the agency's will, and it would not require the contracting agency to fully fund the pension liability upon termination of contract. The bill would authorize CalPERS board to reduce the members' benefit in the terminated agency agency pool by the percentage of liability unfunded. So it would facilitate termination of contracting agencies with CalPERS, allow them not to essentially pay for their remaining liability, but allow CalPERS to reduce the benefits.
Yeah, so this bill is in partial response to the city, the name of which is escaping me. It's the small city that, in addition to reducing or eliminating employee benefits, they still owe the nut to CalPERS, right? Mm-hmm. And so, because they withdrew X years ago and had this contract liability, so this is the anti CalPERS bill on that. I don't see this making it. I'd be surprised.
It's opposite to 1912 that we talked about earlier about the joint powers.
I mean, the gorilla is just not going to stand for this. I wouldn't think that you can.
Why would they reconsider being granted in those bills and some of the bills not? You know what I mean? When the committee,
how powerful the person is who's bringing it forward, whose friends are on the committee, what they've agreed to allow to go on their committee.
I'm just saying
it's just political.
Well, you look at, he has a couple of retirement bills, and it's in the same committee, and
it might be an accommodation. It might be that a member who voted against it said, "Tell you what, I'll give it another shot." You know, if you got some fresh evidence or some more testimony.
Or if they're tweaking it. They may be very well tweaking it, and it may also be a constituent issue, too. They've got powerful lobbyists telling them reconsider.
Who were the cities again? It was
I can't
Stockton
that
was
small city
going
that
to be involved.
Sort of been the poster child. I can't remember the name.
San Bernardino,
I think.
Their city of Bell is one.
San Bernardino.
San Bernardino.
Stockton, Vallejo.
You're not keeping a list, though, John, right?
Next is SB 1033. This has to do with reciprocity and the additional actuarial liability that that occurs when a reciprocal agency has to pay based on increased salary that was provided by maybe another agency. And so this bill would require that an agency participating in CalPERS that increases the compensation of a member who was previously employed by a different agency to bear all actuarial liability for the action. If it results in an increased actuarial liability beyond what would have been reasonably expected for the member. So they're trying to shift the cost to the agency who actually approved the increased compensation.
So if a CERL member gets a compensation bump and then transfers into CalPERS on a reciprocity basis, this bill would obligate the employer in the CERL system to pay some freight determined to be what is beyond the reasonable expectation or
yes,
cost that was associated with that.
Exactly.
I don't know how you administer. I get the idea, but I don't understand how you administer that.
Yeah.
Sounds like more court will be involved, more legal, because reasonable, it's going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
What's reasonable?
Exactly. That's, yeah. That word spawns a lot of dispute.
Thanks, Marin Case.
SB 1149 is the creation of a defined contribution program. It would create new optional defined contribution plans for new state employees who are eligible to become members of CalPERS and who choose not to make contributions into the defined benefit program under the PERL, the governing statute of PERS. AB 1597, both the next bills are ESG-type bills, environmental, social, and governance factors that are included in making investment decisions. And so AB 1597 has to do with investment vehicles issued owned, controlled, or managed by the government of Turkey. And SB 964 goes to climate-related financial risk. And those, again, are only applicable to CalPERS and CalSTRS, not CERL systems.
1597 is an evergreen bill. It's just there every year, every term.
Yeah.
In 964, the language is fascinating. I mean, really, when you say it, it says you're required to make this determination about climate impact, however you would do that. But you're not required to take any action if you're the board,
right,
if it's inconsistent with your fiduciary responsibilities.
I had a session recently talked about it. It's like, how do you hold CalPERS accountable to get their returns if you're going to put handcuffs on them, kind of an attitude.
It's just,
And that concludes my presentation.
Yeah, really. What is white body? The way to ink.